This time of year just seems to fly by. It's kind of like the time you spend listening to the station. Take a few minutes right now to make that phone call to 513-419-7155 to make your contribution in support of all the hours you spent listening to WVXU in 2016. With your help, we can promise more than 8,000 more hours of great listening in 2017. Again, the number, 419-7155. You can also contribute at WVXU.org or WMUB.org. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. With 8,000 square feet, ample storage space, and lots of commercial-grade cooking equipment, Findlay Kitchen's a dream come true for local food entrepreneurs. The culinary incubator at Findlay Market is open to chefs of all levels, and it helps to remove barriers for minority and low-income individuals. Here to talk about Findlay Kitchen, our director of Findlay Kitchen, Marianne Hamilton, co-owner of Enjoy Street Food, Ronaldo Gillespie, and owner of the Arepa Place, Isis Arietta Dennis. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Isis, I hope I said that correctly as far as what the food that you're preparing, and we can talk about it more.
Yes, you did.
Did I say that right? Okay.
Yes, easy.
It's interesting. I want to know more about what you're making, because it sounds really, really good. Oh. But we'll start by asking Marianne, give us a few more details about what the kitchen is like. 8,000 square feet, what kind of equipment?
Sure. So we are, as you said, an 8,000 square foot incubator kitchen. For those not familiar, we are here to support food entrepreneurs by providing them access and support and resources in starting, scaling, and growing their food operations. So we have 10 kitchens total, and half of the kitchens offer hot production lines, so things like convection ovens, fryers, flat top griddles, tilt skillets, and then we have a number of prep kitchens as well. And also a bakery kitchen for any bakers out there. So we have roll-in rack ovens, and literally you can take your production from your home oven of 48 cookies at a time to 480 cookies at a time. So it's really fantastic for those looking to start, grow, and scale their business, like I said.
So they prepare the food here, and then they can take it out and sell it in a
absolutely
in business.
Yes, and okay. Because we're linked to Findlay Market, we have lots of opportunities for distribution there, and we're also connected to many places in the community. So that people can get their items into different sales channels out in the Cincinnati area.
How did you come up with the idea for that? I mean, how did this all get started?
So this was actually, it's been in the plan for Findlay Market for almost 20 years.
Wow.
So it's been a long time coming, and I think the time over the past couple years, it felt right. We had the right people in place to sort of move this forward. And I think also from a trend perspective, food, local food, handcrafted, more artisanally focused products, that's been something that is really gaining a lot of traction. So it was something that we were able to put together the funding for. There has been an incredible amount of support from the community, not just funders, but from organizations willing to offer up support resources to our entrepreneurs as well.
So the time was right. This was the ideal time to do this.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
How was the funding? How much did it cost, and how did you come up with the funding for this?
Yep. So in total, it was $3.1 million, and that was philanthropically raised. So we have an incredible amount of generous donors who committed not just their dollars, but also a lot of their time and resources as well. So it took about a couple years of planning and then a year to actually get the construction and all of the infrastructure set, all of the equipment ordered, and to actually recruit all of our founding members who came in. We opened with about 36 members, and we still have a good majority of those are still with us. So we expected about a 30% attrition rate, just as people sort of got in, got their feet wet, sort of figured out, yes, this is for me, or whoops, you know what, people don't love my chocolate chip cookie nearly as much as my
yes,
mom
I
and
love
dad
my chocolate
tell me
chip
to.
Cookie, yeah.
Exactly. So it's been a really great learning experience, I think, for us and for a lot of our members. You know, on the one hand, the people who are moving forward and are successful, you know, such as Enjoy and the Arepa Place, that's a very clear success. But then also on the other hand, the people who decided, you know what, this isn't for me and I didn't make that $500,000 investment and I don't have loans that I have to repay back, that's also a success for us.
So you've got 10 kitchens, 36 members. So does everybody have like a set schedule that they come in and they do their work at certain times?
Absolutely. So there's not an actual set schedule. They have access to an online booking system. They simply go in, book whatever hours they need to. Most of the kitchens are rentable at an hourly rate. We have a handful of kitchens that are leased on a six-month rolling basis, and those are more for businesses that need 200-plus hours a month. So they're actually in the growth and scaling phase of their business. But so we're open 24/7. You get a key fob just like at a gym. Swipe in, and if you've scheduled your time, you book a particular kitchen, get in there, do your work, clean up, and get out of there.
So is it pretty much full all the time?
No, we actually have made it so that we're only at about 30-40% usage right now. We made a very conscious decision to do that to make sure that we are giving the time and effort that each of these members needs. We're there to sort of support them and offer them help whenever they need. So we have a lot of room to grow, and we have plans for growth over the next couple years. I think we could probably support upwards of 90 businesses at a time.
Wow.
But that's a little
almost,
ways away.
Almost triple what you
absolutely
have right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Issa said, let's talk about your business. Tell me about what you're running out of the Findlay Kitchen.
So the Edible Place started in April of this year. We didn't have any idea what we were going to get into until we met Marianne Hamilton and also Anthony Bedding. They were so excited about our food that we decided to go and do it. And that was very helpful. We got so much help from them. It's unbelievable. We didn't know anything, and Anthony especially had so much knowledge about businesses, restaurant businesses, mm-hmm. and also the cook equipment and the permits that we needed to have a booth and sell our food outside of Findlay Market. So the Arepa Place is a family business. My mom, who has a lot of
she's the one who got you into the restaurant business, isn't she?
She is. I just follow her footsteps. So she has so much experience, and I grew up in this environment that I finally said, well, I want to be my own boss. And the best thing that I found was, okay, so I'm going to just have my own business and have a restaurant. And that is possible because of the Findlay Kitchen. I found a great location. I found the cooking equipment there and also the support from them. And that includes getting all my licenses, my mobile licenses, to go and cook the food there and take it to the market. And also networking. We got so many catering gigs from them, and it's just unbelievable how you can connect with people, local people, through the kitchen, and it has been phenomenal. Now, talking about the food that I sell.
Yeah, I want to know what an arepa is.
Arepa by itself is like a pita bread, but it's made out of corn. So we take the corn, we boil it, grind it, and then we make this little... it's like a tortilla, I want to say, but it's thicker than that. And it's like a bread for Colombians and Venezuelans. We eat that with everything. Like you Americans do with their bread. It's like a bread.
And to me, it sort of looks like a little Johnny cake, like a little corn cake.
It's like a corn cake.
I don't know if you know. I don't know if that's, yeah.
So after that, we cut it in the middle. And we fill it with cheese, beans, plantains, Ooh. Chicken, and beef. So my mom had this wonderful recipe, and I'm just sharing my love through food. And I love to share my culture through food as well. So that's very important for us. And that was the perfect item to make. The arepas.
How is business for you? How are people really picking up on these and liking them?
Oh my God! You didn't know that people were gonna get that crazy with that. We have had people coming to the booth saying, "I dream with the arepa," and we are like, "Oh, that's weird," but okay. We take it. But even the kids, they go to the booth and they're like, I want this cheese arepa. I don't know what you put in, but I want the cheese arepa. And the cheese arepa is the corn dough mixed with cheese, and then we grill them both sides. So it's like the Colombian grilled cheese.
Oh, it sounds good.
And that's very attractive to everybody, but especially to kids. Kids that are kind of picky with food. Having cheese, anything with cheese is great.
I'm not even a kid, and that cheese arepa changed my life.
Yeah, I got to try one of these. It sounds really good. Issa, so you're cooking these at Finley Kitchen.
Yes.
And where's your restaurant? Where are you actually selling these out of?
Well, we don't have a restaurant.
Okay.
So
how do you distribute your product?
So right now this is the end of our season, but we were outside of Finley Market.
Okay.
So like I said, we will cook in Finley Kitchen our food. We prep it there, and then on the same weekend we will take the food from there and take it to the to Finley Market, outside of Finley Market. In the south side of Finley Market, there are like how many 7 to 8 vendors. Mm-hmm. So we take the food there and we sell it there. Right now we are working on another part of our business, and is trying to retail our product. So the cheese arepa is going to be hopefully in Jungle Gyms or any other place for people to buy it.
But it sounds like being part of Finley Kitchen has really, really helped your business.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of the great thing about Finley Kitchen having ties to Finley Market. You know, we have access to outside booth space like Issa said, and there's little booths that you can just pop up in. You can sell, have your own restaurant there for the season. You know, the season's widening down now. But the great thing about the kitchen is you can still, during that off season, you can figure out ways to expand your business, expand your product lines. And the perfect example is, her salsas, her arepas. Can she freeze them? Can she actually sell the salsas and bottle them, can them, send them out to distribution for retail to sort of help supplement that income while it's the slow or the cold season until the next market season starts ramping up in April.
Yeah. So what is the exact season for arepas? Is it pretty much spring into winter, or
it will be a spring until November.
Okay.
The first or second week of November is the end of our season. And it's just, it gets too cold outside.
Yeah. It's purely driven by weather, sure. Like
yeah.
April to November is really sort of the outdoor market season for farmers markets. And it gets a little cold. There are people that brave it out there through the winter, and they're amazing, but it gets a little chilly.
I'm from Colombia, Cartagena, and it's hot. All year round.
All the time.
So
yeah.
This is too cold for me. Sorry, I need to find another way of selling my arepas, but I already found it. But we are working on that, and we'll see.
Ronaldo, we need to talk to you about your venture, Enjoy
sure.
Street Food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about this.
So Enjoy Street Food, we started roughly around the same time as Isis and the Arepa Place in May. We started selling food at Finley Market. And so I think for us, none of my partners or me were culinarily trained officially. So we kind of didn't know what we were doing. And Finley Kitchen came in and saved us. Amazing equipment, amazing people to be surrounded by, a really good workflow. Kind of said, all right, well, that's what we're doing next. This makes perfect sense. So I think that helps a lot of people start cooking out of their home, the cottage way, and transitioning to a real official kitchen. It's hard. People say, you can't do it. It's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's just scary. Don't get into it. And I think Finley Kitchen is definitely serving a really huge need now for the city, kind of making that transition. So it's helped us phenomenally. And the same thing, now we're able to have an area where we can work on stuff and start looking at what the next route is for our business. The winter has come, so we're exploring.
Winter's
the winter is coming. It has come now. And yeah, we're exploring, catering and different ways of serving food when it's super cold outside.
So how do you keep it going once the farmer's market season is over? Yeah,
exactly.
You said you started with no experience? Really?
Yeah, so we kind of, it was me and my partners decided we were figuring out what we wanted to do with our lives. And we kind of took Indian food was something we had loved so much and ate a lot. And we wanted to make some twists and tweaks and make it in a way that would serve us daily, something we could eat all the time. So we really just designed what we wanted to eat. We made something that we looked forward to. And so it kind of has just all fallen into place, and people are receiving it well because, if you like it, there's got to be other people out there that will really like it, enjoy it, and appreciate it. And so we're real about the community part. And I would just throw in there about the kitchen. The thing that we found to love so much is just all the other vendors that are in there, the whole community, the feel. I mean, we just want to be surrounded by people in our lives, right? That's the point of enjoying life, is being with other people. It's been so cool to have these conversations. You're sitting there chopping onions. It looks like you're crying, but you're chatting with your neighbor there about, you know, what's going on in their life and your life, and you're running around. So it's really great in that aspect as well.
You got camaraderie going on, and it's a networking opportunity too,
yes.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can find out from other people how they're approaching their business and how they're dealing with certain issues. So
that's a
big benefit of it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, in addition to sort of the wraparound business services that we provide, you know, so we don't actually create a much content from a curriculum perspective. We partner with outside organizations to provide help in marketing and branding, legal services, insurance, things like that. But in addition to all of those sort of more formalized connections, it's like you said, Ronaldo, all of the people that are in the kitchen and sort of those different, you know, it may only be like a 15-minute conversation, but you're with everybody in there who you're going through the same thing. You may be at different places and different stages within the life of your business, but everybody has some sort of relevance to everyone else. And it's nice just to be surrounded. And, you know, some days it's like, you know, super positive, and some days it's like, oh man, I have this horrible issue. Like, has anybody gone through this before? And it's almost guaranteed that somebody's going to have some sort of solution or some way to support and help you, which is really awesome. It's so great to see everybody sort of bonding and you know, talking and being, you know, part of the conversation. It's what it's all about. It's community.
Yes, what I have noticed being in the kitchen is that you meet so many people and so many great people, because you are here and you feel like you are by yourself, but you are not. So that's what she's saying. Marianne is totally right, that you feel like you are by yourself, but then when you try to talk to other members, it's like, oh, you are going through the same thing. So let's talk about this. And then they give you ideas. They tell you, join this, do this class. You can get through this route instead. Sell your food through this path. You know, it's just unbelievable how much help you can get, even from the members of the kitchen.
And it gives you hope for your own business.
Yes, really. Yes, it does. And then you can go and one day, like, the other day, I was like, oh, my God, what a bad day. It was too cold outside, and nobody wanted to be outside. And you have that support from the elders and say, you know, next weekend, don't worry about it. So anyway.
Marianne, how common are culinary incubators? I mean, is this something that's relatively new? Is it a pretty unique idea?
I think the concept is not super new, but I think there's been – you know, much like the trend in food and small food and more local, the culinary incubators there's been a huge increase over the past 10 years, really. There are a couple others in this area, in Northern Kentucky. There's one that just opened in Loveland. Rachel from Grateful Grams, I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's lovely. So she was the one that actually started those. I think we've seen that there's a need for it. You know, and I hope there are more that will continue to pop up. There's never a shortage of ideas. There's never a shortage of passion. Small business and food, I mean, they're such a natural fit, and so many people just have, I mean, there's endless ideas. So I think having those resources there to be able to sort of lower some of those barriers, kind of get out there, talk to people who've done it before, talk to people who are going through the same thing. And I think from our perspective, we're currently the first and only nonprofit food business incubator. So I think that also helps us to be able to really focus in on our mission a little bit less on, you know, the profit perspective. So we really are focusing on, you know, building community, going out and sort of, you know, making those connections and connecting with organizations and getting support to not just help our current members, but also to bring in other members who may not otherwise have the opportunity to embark on a food journey like this.
But you're at 30 plus food entrepreneurs right now.
Correct.
And you'd like to see it hit 90 at some point. So,
At some point, not anytime soon. We have a very lean management team, so yeah, we certainly are looking forward to growing in 2017. We've only been open since April, so we have not even hit the year mark. So there's still lots that we're learning. We're sort of refining our processes and procedures, and really just trying to tune into what our members are telling us their needs are, so we can make sure to meet those.
Isis, Ronaldo, and Marianne, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Director of Findlay Kitchen, Marianne Hamilton, co-owner of Enjoy Street Food, Ronaldo Gillespie, and owner of the Arepa Place, Isis Arietta Dennis. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Dave Shermer was the technical director. And William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll review and discuss the people, stories, and events that affected the tri-state this week. We'll present an in-depth look at the developments behind the headlines with editors and reporters from WVXU and other local news organizations. And we'd like to hear and share your thoughts on this week's news and how it was reported. Join us on the next Cincinnati Edition for our weekly news review, Friday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.